Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You're bound to begin seeing pink everywhere you look. So we'll be the first in with breast cancer information for you this morning and an emphasis on early detection. In the studio with me this morning is Dr. Jennifer Barna, an assistant professor of radiology at SUNY Upstate and chief of women's imaging. Good morning, Dr. Barna.
Good morning.
And welcome to you. I'd like to talk about different kinds of mammography because I think that this is a place where we really can make a difference in women's understanding of what mammography is and how it is you actually can detect breast cancer or problems in the breast. And I know there are different kinds of mammography, and I even know that you study it in different ways. So that's where I'd like to go with the conversation.
Okay.
Good. Let's start. First of all, the only thing I know about mammography is that it's based on an X-ray system.
That's correct. Mammography takes x-rays of the breasts in two different projections with standard screening mammography, and those are interpreted by radiologists who look at your mammogram from this year and any mammograms that you've had prior to this and look for any significant difference and make a decision about whether there is a reason for a patient to have a further workup or whether the patient can go to screening in another year.
You know, that's an interesting point you make. You're looking at previous year's mammograms as well. So that means that we're expected to do this on a regular basis, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. It is very important to have a screening mammogram every year. The recommendation is that women who are 40 years and older have a screening mammogram yearly. And if there is any change that a woman notices in between her yearly mammograms, she would need to give her doctor a call and then would come in for what's called a diagnostic mammogram.
All right. And I want to talk about that diagnostic in a minute because there is a little bit of a difference in the way you look at them, isn't there?
We look at them the same way, but the diagnostic workup, we typically will take extra images and sometimes even go to a second modality such as ultrasound in order to examine, for example, a palpable abnormality that the patient may have noticed.
Palpable meaning?
That she could feel a lump or that her doctor discovered a lump on a physical examination.
I see. All right. So there is a difference in the approach there. Interesting. All right. Well, let's go back to the annual because that's of interest to me, too. It seems like more and more I'm hearing of younger women, younger than the age of 40, who are detecting breast cancer or they know there's a family history of breast cancer. There's a recommendation there that they be receiving mammograms as well, isn't there?
Well, the recommendation is that for people who do not have risk factors that they present at age 40, typically they'll come in for a baseline mammogram, meaning their first mammogram between the ages of 35 and 40, and then continue after 40. For women who have increased risk factors, such as a first-degree relative, meaning a mother with breast cancer, a sister, or it could even be father or brother who has had breast cancer before, they would come in for their first mammogram typically 10 years earlier than their relative was at the age of diagnosis.
Oh, I see. So if your mother contracted breast cancer at the age of 45, you would come in at 35.
Typically, yes, but the recommendation is that anyone who has risk factors such as a positive family history would talk with their general doctor or their OBGYN doctor ahead of time explaining the risk factors, and then they can come up with a plan for each individual as far as when would be the best time to start screening.
All right. And I do know that, as an aside here, there is also some genetic testing that can go on, and I know that there are women who get that genetic testing as well.
Yes, there are some genes that have been found that do have a higher, if the patient carries one of those genes, they would have a higher risk for breast cancer. Typically, those are seen in familial breast cancer, although they can be seen in presenting cases.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who is diagnosed with breast cancer is tested for those genes, and then their family members may also choose to be tested. If a patient has a family member who has tested positive for one of those genes, such as the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, they would need to talk with their healthcare provider about that and see when the best time to start mammography is, and also whether it might be best for them to have annual MRI screening as well.
Okay, very good. Well, let's go back to the mammography itself, because I think this is something, again, women are doing this annually, and they're just kind of going through the paces and not really understanding what it's all about. So, all right, now I have my appointment, and I go for my mammography, and I know things like I'm not supposed to wear deodorant. Why?
Oh, that's a great question. When the mammogram takes the x-ray of the breasts, deodorant can cause an artifact on the film that looks like microcalcifications.
All right, and that means what? An artifact just meaning a little spot?
An artifact meaning tiny little, in this case, tiny little spots that look like the tiny little spots that we are worried about, which are microcalcifications. Now, typically, they're in the location of the axillary region or the underarms, which is seen on, that area is seen on one of the projections that we take for the mammogram. The problem is that there are breast cancers that can present in that area. So if a patient comes in and they have what looks like deodorant artifact, we have to prove that that's what it is, and they will have to have another picture taken after cleaning to try to eliminate artifact.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm so glad you answered that question, because I've always wondered about it. All right, so now I go in, and what you're really doing, in effect, is flattening my breast. And I know that for some women that is very, very painful. It hasn't been particularly painful to me. I've been lucky. But why does it have to be so flat?
That's another good question. When the x-ray goes through the tissue, in order for the tissue to have good contrast on the film that's produced, the flatter it is compressed, the better an image, the better image that we can get, and the more contrast that we get on the image, so that the better compression a patient is able to tolerate, the better chance that her mammogram will be interpreted
correctly,
or better chance that an abnormality can be seen on the mammogram.
Okay.
If the tissue is not compressed well, then it increases the appearance of kind of whiteness or density, and that can make it very difficult to see a subtle abnormality or a very small cancer.
You must stare at these an awful lot, and you must be able to interpret them very quickly. I know I've seen pictures of mammograms, I've seen the films that are produced, and I can't tell one thing from another, but you must have specific things you're looking for.
We do have specific things that we're looking for, and we're in a very fortunate position here at Upstate in that we, as a teaching facility and as a facility that sees a lot of patients who come here with a diagnosis of breast cancer from outside facilities or who have a strong family history, they're coming here with high risk factors, we are able to take time with every mammogram and really scrutinize it and look at several comparisons from prior years. And we are looking for, on a baseline mammogram, we're looking for anything that stands out to us as a nodule or suspicious calcification.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at comparison films, it's very helpful because we can see if there's been a change over a year or 2 years or 3 years, sometimes even more. And it's the change that may alert us to a very early cancer.
Very interesting. So when you find those changes, I know too that there are two different ways of doing the mammograms. There's the regular x-ray mammogram that's been standard, but now there are digital ones as well. And are they just clearer pictures?
The digital mammograms are, from a radiologist perspective, and if you've ever been invited to look at your mammograms and seen an old analog, what we call analog, which were the screen film mammograms, and seen a digital, there is a significant difference in the appearance. Digital mammogram has been shown to have, in a large study, several large studies, but one that in particular that came out a couple years ago, shown to have a significant difference in interpreting dense breast tissue mammograms, which typically can be seen with women who are younger than 50. The younger the woman is, the more chance that her breast tissue will appear dense, which is just normal appearance of breast tissue. And over time, typically the tissue becomes more fatty replaced, which is also normal. But if you do have dense breasts or if you're younger than 50, digital mammography has been shown to be more accurate.
I see. And then some of them are being read by computers.
Well, they're not read by computers, but there is something called computer-assisted technology where the computer will, with a digital mammogram, you can, some places also have it for the screen film mammogram, the computer will actually go through and circle areas that it perceives as possibly being abnormal. And a lot of times in a patient who has dense breasts, the computer may circle a number of areas. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the radiologist to determine whether those areas need further workup, whether they need spot compression views, in which case the patient may be called back and additional images could be taken to try to see when they do a special spot compression view, whether the area essentially goes away and whether it looks more like the other breast tissue within that breast.
Very interesting. You know what? I have many, many more questions. Will you stay with us through the news?
Sure.
That would be great.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.